course, we're going to try to do that today, but not in the world of make-believe, right? Airplane mode, I think.
Well, that's kind of uncharacteristic. Our team is going to be caught.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. But we forget it. Okay. So that's what we want to try to remember today. We're going to talk. So we're going to look at a couple places, and our text is going to be in Romans 1. But we want to look in two places to get us there. Psalms 90. Psalms 90, verses 10 to 12, usually attributed to Moses. That was incorporated into David's collections of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 90, verse number 10, verse 9, you pick it up there, verse 12. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I love that verse. Always has stuck out at me. Is the Word of God tells us certain character traits about us as we look at it as a mirror of our internal selves. We spend our years in a tale that you pick who you are as far as the Word of God as a mirror is concerned. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years, and he's bringing something out here, and it's common in the Bible. Our 80 years and 10. Now you can't get away from that. You look through the Bible and you'll see the age of man gradually declined after the world was changed quite drastically with Noah's flood, and all that's in the atmosphere and food, so on and so forth. And they gradually went down from hundreds and hundreds of years till anywhere from 70 to 80 years. Today, it's still the same way. Amen. I don't care how good you eat, take care of you. King David ate as good could be. But he had everything was natural, amen? And drank all the good wine. He still died somewhere around 70 years old. But he says here, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's anywhere from 70 to 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. You know, in your mind, everyone that's old is anyone that's older than you.
Right.
That's how you think about me. When you start thinking that you're old, you're approaching this timeline. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yeah. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And he says, teach us to number our days. I look at young people, have no idea what's going to happen to their bodies in a few years. Teach us, you just take it for granted. And the Word of God helps us to begin to see certain things that we don't want to take for granted. The reality of God is something we want to come to life today through numbers. This is a message I call arithmetic and the reality of God. God is in math, brother. And if you study numbers, you're gonna agree with me. At least I hope you will. That's what we're going to talk about today. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what is by far the majority of people that die every day at the tune of one per heartbeat are not thinking they're going to die that day. That heartbeat is going to be their last. It's just not how people naturally think. Even though everybody knows their days are numbered. Because the Bible says that. Many, many tekel a parson. So he says, teach us. Okay, so we're going to teach us. And yet, we're going to forget. We're not understand. So we want to go more than God teaching us. Look in Psalms 39. And then we're going to go deeper than that and have a math lesson today. Arithmetic and the reality of God. But first, let's look in Psalms chapter number 39. I almost gave in and wore glasses today, brother, but we're sticking it out. Psalms 39, verses 1 to 5.
Contact.
I said, I will take heed to my ways. Now, here's David writing this. And that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before. Now, you might be successful for a short time with that. But I'll guarantee you that the tongue is something, is a member that no man can tame.
Yep.
Everybody in here agree with that?
Yeah.
Or does that sound like heresy? I was dumb with silence. Wouldn't open his mouth. I held my peace. So he's purposed in heart right here. Even from good, I ain't saying nothing. And my sorrow was stirred. Sometimes it's good not to talk. The multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And it's not just teach me. He says in verse 4, Lord, make me to know. Mine, and guarantee, brother, every person in here is going to meet God. We all are. Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Mm-hmm. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Mm-hmm. Now look at this in the book of Romans. So this is what he wants to be taught. And they said, God, please go further. Make me to know. I pray like that to God sometimes. Make me. Because if you just give me the choice, I don't trust myself.
Amen.
I just simply don't. Romans chapter number 1. Now here we get here. Arithmetic. And the reality of God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What a wonderful verse. The Reformation is born on this verse. Revival in your own life is with a fresh understanding of this verse, a deeper understanding than the Reformation. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What a wonderful verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. These are people that are running. They're avoiding. They're hiding. What they can know of God, what they do know of God, they don't want to know. And if you don't know anymore, just don't tell me anymore, then you're not accountable. You're accountable for what you do know. Everybody has been given enough light to know they're in darkness. Everybody. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, see, they, is manifest in, this is an internal knowledge that every human being that can count from 1 to 10 and understands good and evil in those 1 to 10 commandments is accountable for internally. I think it's written in internally in your 10-digit name word called conscience. Amen. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. People know internally. There's a God. There's accountability. For God hath showed it unto them. For the in, now here's the text right here we want to look at. The internal, what God does, he does it so many times in your life. Everything God created, it's an object he created out of nothing. Amen. And he uses all these objects as object lessons to teach us spiritual truths from physical realities we can relate to. This is success in parenting, trying to teach children, not just disciplining them because they disobey, but explaining to them, amen, and nurturing and reminding them that they're still loved in your punishment or your chastening of them, amen. This is the success of a teacher trying to communicate to those that are the students, amen. This is what God is constantly trying to teach us. This is how God uses the law and deals with the conviction of our conscience, which is the law of God written internally, amen? But he uses external objects, the invisible things of him. You can't see God, brethren. I can't show you a picture of God. I can't, you know, sculpt some, this is God. It doesn't work like that, amen? He's a spirit. He's invisible. Of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So you can see things about God from things he created. Being understood by the things that are made. Now here's the 3 points we're going to get. The arithmetic and the reality of God. Even his eternal power. The first thing we're going to see that's demonstrated quite clearly and simply with arithmetic is infinity in eternity. Numbers prove there's such a thing as infinity in eternity. logic and reason has to say, based on the laws, the simple laws of number, there's infinity in eternity. We'll look at that. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Now, this is amazing because this is the fingerprint of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything he created. It's the Trinity, the Godhead. So we're going to see that through arithmetic, there is symmetry in the Trinity. We'll see that. Everything, there's a pattern. And it springboards off of the Trinity. And then we're also going to see, he says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And what I want you to see, that's accountability. But we want to see, through arithmetic and the reality of God, what God wants you to see through the study of math. He wants you to see opportunity in accountability. Because the negative is just accountability. He always wants you to see the opportunity. And I think if you don't recognize that, you might be afraid to an extent that you won't allow God to use you and make yourself available. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray that you bless this lesson. Help us to study arithmetic, mathematics, from somewhat of a biblical perspective, and be able to apply simple truths that we all can comprehend. Take them as far and as deep as you allow our relationship with you to take them. Bring us to the abstract worlds of faith in a relationship with you, but built upon the simplicity of the faith of a child. Just being able to count and number and the basic principles of arithmetic. I ask that you would use me to drive that home today and every person here that's listening, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, back when I was growing up, not that it was that long ago, but there were always three basic foundational learning subjects. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. It all began with R. Spelling
went up. Yeah, 3 points.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic. I always gravitated more so to arithmetic, amen? Numbers in the Bible are very important. They're very important in the Bible. There's whole verses in the Bible that talk about numbers. As a matter of fact, there's whole chapters. And if you read through the whole thing, you'll find there's a whole book that's named after numbers. I think it's called Numbers. Amen? And you'll be very successful in dealing with your problems as you understand numbers, because one of the basic and simplest truths of arithmetic is that every problem has a solution. It's always the same. It always applies somehow or another to the cross. God says that he numbers the stars. Okay, that's a lot of counting.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, any one of us would be dead long, long before we even touched the surface of one galaxy, of an infinite number of galaxies as far as we can reckon. The Bible talks about God numbering the hairs of our head. Isn't that something? They're all supposed to be for his glory. Aren't we the woman whose hair is to the glory of God? Amen. To the husband. So he talks about numbering the hairs of our head. He talks about, Job says, he counts my steps. God counts. He numbers. He reckons. Amen. There's numbers of cities in the Bibles, and numbers of streets, and numbers of days, and months, and years. There's numbers of carcasses that fall. Amen? You got to understand this as we go through arithmetic and the reality of God, that his way of counting and accounting is different than ours. We have to remember this, that when it comes to relationship with God, through the perspective of math, all that we have is never enough. But with God, it is always more than enough. Don't you remember that story of the feeding of the multitude? Look at one instance of it in Matthew chapter 8, because this is the second of two. The incredible discovery of all sciences is that we create nothing. We discover things that already exist. And then we utilize them, hopefully, to the betterment of mankind, to the glory of God, if you're a Christian. That's the purpose. That's how we magnify God with his creative genius. Amen. In Mark chapter 8. But you got, you know, people think, you know, Americo Vespucci or Columbus, they did Mark chapter 8. You think, did they create America or did they discover it? It's always there, brother. It's always there. The ability to fly in an airplane was always there. We just had to discover it. Amen. Somebody said, what's the difference between arithmetic and mathematics? And they said, well, arithmetic is to mathematics like spelling is to writing. Arithmetic is the basics. And this is how faith is. God can take your faith and bring you into worlds beyond in a relationship with Him and show you all the intricacies of what He's doing in your personal life if you walk by faith. Amen? But you have to recognize certain basic, rudimentary, fundamental principles, and then He can springboard you anywhere. Amen? In Mark chapter 8, you see where He talks about He feeds these. Now, He had just fed a group of people, and I think it was five loaves of bread and a few fishes, and they had 5,000, fed 5,000 people. They had 12 basketfuls left over, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And then the people getting hungry again. You know how that is. You eat a big dinner, and I'll never eat another dinner again. We all say that on Thanksgiving, don't we?
Yeah.
And before that evening's over, after the pie, before that evening's over, and before the pie again. We're eating all of it. Mark chapter 8. So here He's getting ready to feed these people. And He tells them in verse number 2, I have compassion on the multitude because they've now been with Me 3 days. Now we know the significance. 3 days to do with resurrection and the Trinity. They don't understand. They have nothing to eat. They don't understand. And so He's going to tell His disciples, well, this is what I want you to do. And they're saying, well, in verse 4, whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? We can't feed them. Natural, you need supernatural work of God. He asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7. So He sits everybody down, takes the 7 loaves, a few small fishes in verse number 7. And then it says in verse 8, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat and was left 7 baskets. And they had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. There's leftover. You see, when it comes to you and I, we never have enough to approach God. You don't have enough to have a relationship with God. Amen. But based on who He is, we always have more than enough.
Amen.
But we forget that, don't we? Amen. Simple, basic math and faith and trusting God. So He tells them later on, they all get in a boat in verse 14, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Perfect opportunity for an object lesson. And they're in the ship, and with them, there was more, there, with them more than one loaf. They didn't have that much. They had a little bit, but not much. Verse 17, He says, perceive ye not, they start arguing, what are we going to do? We don't have food to eat. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, do ye not remember? And He goes through that, and He tells in verse 1, He said, how is it that they don't understand the simple math of faith? Trusting God is enough. Now, He has to teach that. He has ways of teaching that. We'll see that as we go through here. But math and numbers are something that God's very interested in. We should be to a certain degree. Not making it into a God. That's the mistake David did. And I realize some people preach against big churches because David took a census. It was his motive that was wrong. Amen. He wasn't trusting God in taking that census and keeping a head count. How many people came in today and then sending it off to sword of the Lord, wherever you send it. Amen. It's a motive to grow big for the wrong reason. Amen? But there's nothing wrong with growing big if God saves thousands or increases. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The idea to always remember is that regardless of your size, God is always the majority.
Amen.
And no matter how many of us there are, we're always the minority. Amen? And He takes pleasure in creating everything out of nothing. We can't forget that simple, wonderful truth about arithmetic and the reality of God. Because you see that in mathematics, we just begin, you have a number line, right? You don't know how to count like that, am I correct or what? Right? And that's what you got there. You got your number line, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 0, 1, negative 1, negative 2, negative 3. He talks about, first thing we want to point out, is He talks about the eternal power of God. And arithmetic and the reality of God shows us and proves to us that there's such a thing called eternity. But it goes, because he talks about the eternal power of God. Now, what's amazing to this is, look in Psalms 147. Now, there's all kinds of symbols, Psalms 147. Let's see how smart you are mathematically. What does this symbol mean?
Equal.
What does this symbol mean? See, it's a language. Math is a language. And as you learn that numbers exist in everything around the world, and somehow or another they're strangely complementary, even though initially and superficially they appear to be contradictory. They're all complementing the wonderful reality of who God is. Because He made everything. Amen? So you begin to see how all these certain things about numbers interact. What do you have when you have this?
Less than.
How about this? How about this?
Less than
or equal. You go on. Here's somebody, how about this right here? Anybody know what that means?
Approximate.
That means approximate. How about, what does this mean right here?
Approximately equal.
Which is congruent. Now, the most basic are this. See that? We all know. That's arithmetic. Brother, you got to get those fundamentals down. Amen. Your children, that's why you got the flashcards and stuff. Your kids don't get that stuff down, you got a problem. Amen. And you got things because it builds on that. You get into square roots and you get into parentheses and you get into exponents, you know, and you get into degrees and you get into, oh, who knows what this one is right here?
Exclamation mark.
Well, no, it's not in mathematics.
Prime number.
No, it's not a prime number. That has to do with numbers that you multiply. Factorial. You multiply 5 factorial. 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5. That's what that has to do with. Amen? So you get through this all and all and all. Eventually you'll come to a symbol that looks like a sideways number 8. Who knows what that is?
Infinity.
Oh, brother. Look at it in Psalm chapter 147.
Sorry.
There is a famous space character. I think you know. The buzz is out, isn't it, brother? Amen. And he's a space ranger working for Star Command. His job is to protect the universe, especially from the evil Emperor Zurg. Amen. He has a control panel on his arm and a protective helmet so he can breathe properly in a suit that's defensed against all the chemicals and diseases in the atmosphere of whatever planet he might be on. Wings that can fly. He truly believes he can fly. And he demonstrated. Anybody know who this fellow is? He wears his eyebrows kind of slightly cocked down like this. To infinity and beyond! And he jumps and he flies and he bounces off a ball and all these crazy incredible. Doesn't realize in his own power he's just a toy. Amen? Not in God's world.
Good.
You can fly. In God's world, you can fly. Look at Psalms 147, verse 4. Because that, brother, that is a classic cliche. I believe it was borrowed from someone else. Amen? But to infinity and beyond. So you got to, to, and then you put infinity, writing it right on the thing, and beyond. See, right there? But he doesn't. There's no way a cartoon can see this right here, can he? That's what's got to begin, brother. It's got to begin with a cross. And he says in Psalm chapter number 147, verse number 4. This is so important. Psalms 147, verse 4. I think it was Mickey Mouse that said, arithmetic is being able to count to 20 without taking your shoes off. Amen? It means you can count your toes with your fingers. You're using your fingers to count your toes. Anyways, Psalms 147, verse number 4.
Is that why your shoes are off?
That's exactly why my shoes are off. I got all these pages numbered. Psalm 147, verse number 4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Look at the verse before it, on this side. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. Verse 5. Look at on this side, the nothing. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is what?
Infinity.
Infinity and beyond.
Wow.
Brother, what's beyond infinity?
Yeah.
God. There's nothing beyond infinity. But numbers tell you there's such a thing as eternity. Infinity. In eternity. Numbers tell you that there has to be something eternal. You're in denial. You don't believe in something. You don't believe in eternity? Don't you know simple math? I'll give you a bigger number than any number you can say, amen? Of course, we live in an inflated society, so numbers kind of have become diluted, the value and meaning of numbers. I mean, brother, you go to McDonald's dollar menu and everything's $1.39 and up, amen? Well, let's say, what's that? That's inflation, is what that is. I mean, there was a time when winning $1 million was a big deal. Amen. Now it's like, I would never play the lotto until it got to at least 200 million. And we live in an inflated society. Numbers have lost their meaning, brother. Amen. I don't even tell people thanks a million. I say thanks a million billion. Well, why? Because I mean it when I say that. It's just thanks a million. It's flippant. I'm just doing it because I'm like, you know, God bless you when you sneeze. Nobody really cares about when you sneeze. Amen. You know that. Come on, brethren. Amen. Thanks a million billion. Brother, we've forgotten how good it is for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us,
amen,
not just from one sin, but from all, amen, our sins. God's wonderful, huge pencil made of a cross has an eraser,
amen,
made of the blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
just washing away all our sins,
amen,
one at a time.
Amen.
Gone, brother.
Yeah.
What sins are you talking about? Amen. Praise the Lord for the precious. We live in a diluted society of materialism. Amen. All the new Bibles take out the blood.
Yeah.
The,
yeah,
prosperity gospel, as though we deserve things because we're God's children.
Yeah.
Brother, we it is of the Lord's mercies we are not. We are not consumed, God's people. One of God's people wrote that. Amen. I think of a fellow called Charlie, factory worker, famous fellow. You read him, I think you could probably Google him. He's a factory worker, just loves his job. He stays in this place. He never got married, never leaves where he is, loves the walls. Aren't you boxed in? He never leaves, so they call him Charlie Sell. Amen? Because he always never leaves. He has complete freedom within these walls, doing what God, he believes, made him to do and to be. He loves, absolutely loves his job. Never bored, amen? And there's all kinds of chemicals in this factory he works in, and proper growth and movement of the factory and production. He's involved in all of this, but Charlie Sell has one specific role that's more important than anything. It's over there in Psalm 139, see if I could find it, verse... He talks about in verse 17 and 18, and his job is before any molecule is allowed to move forward without him sending off an alarm, amen? He looks at that DNA molecule, and it has a double helix, two intertwining spirals connecting it together, and he looks at it and he says, what's the ratio of the width of that helix and the length of that helix of every molecule and every DNA in every cell, Charlie Cell, of your human body. Amen? And he said, well, the ratio is 1. What is it here? I forget. My mind is blown on me right now. It's 1.6. That's it. That's the number. It's 1.618. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. Okay. You can move on. You're healthy. You're what you're supposed to be. And off he goes. That's Charlie Sell. The Bible talks about in Psalm 139, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, in verse 17. How great is the sum of them. 1, 2, 3, 4. My brother would take millions and millions and millions. You couldn't be not enough time to count numbers. I think up to the trillions and the zillions. He said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This has to do with somebody being shaped in his mother's womb. This is Charlie Sell right here. Everything's all right. Move on, go forward. You want to buzz light years past infinity? Infinity and beyond. What's beyond, brother? God. Arithmetic tells you there's an eternity. Arithmetic tells you scientifically, empirically, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's always one more. It's eternal. What started on that day of creation has no end. Amen? Oh, that's just amazing to me. It's not just a cartoon or these Canadian nuts. Amen? It's a revelation that we're eternal. And infinity is right in the midst of eternity. There's a little boy in 1930, somewhere around there. He had an uncle that was a famous mathematician. And his uncle, who was a famous mathematician, gave him a number. It was 1 with 100 zeros after it. So he gave it a name. The name was Google. Not Google like on the internet. Google. And so that was the name he gave it, and then they took that number, Google, and they one with 100 zeros after, which would be one with 100 zeros after it, and he took that number right there, which is called Google, and he Googled that exponentially, amen? And that's called a Googleplex, because it's way more complex, but it's quite simple. It's eternal. There's no end. And there's not enough space in the universe to write that number on paper and ink. If you use the sky as a parchment, simply not enough. This is incredible. I'm talking about outer space. Sky as parchment. Amen? You need to realize, brother, that this is the God that gave us simple arithmetic to demonstrate to us we're accountable. There is an eternity. Every person in here is going to live somewhere forever. Say, how do you know that? Because you're alive right now. Amen? And you're dying right now, but you're still alive. Mm-hmm. Ask Charlie Sells. They're dying all over the place right now in your body, but you're still living. Amen? You're going to live somewhere forever. And you begin to understand and discover that eternity, why it's so hard to grasp, but not with simple faith. Eternity is one day at a time. Wow. We need to get hold of that. Because we live and dwell in eternity right now. And we need to realize it's not just going this way, it's going this way. There's another little boy who's walking home, a long journey, solitary on his way home, and he wanted to make it quicker because it was quite boring. So what he began to do, he began to count the light posts and the distance he would walk naturally between light posts. And he comes to the number 8. So he comes to the last road and he says, it's a long road, but he says, every 8 steps, I know I'm one light post getting closer and the light shining more and more and more. And he realizes this. And he said, okay, kind of making it quicker instead of just walking without what would seem to be personal. He used math. And then he said, you know what I could do is I could cut that in half, and when I get to 4, I know I'm halfway there. And so he would count to 4, and he knows he's halfway to the first lamppost. And he said, you know what I'll do? I'll just count to 2. I'll cut that in half. And he kept cutting. And he said, it's moving quicker and quicker, but it wasn't. Because if you do that halves, 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 you're in the world of fractions. And eventually he realizes that I'll never get to the end. I'll never get to the next lamppost if I keep cutting my steps in half. Amen? And this is what Christians have to realize in their own life. Because between 0 and 1 are an infinity of numbers that never end. And you're so anxious to get over here, you don't realize that infinity is in eternity, and eternity is one day at a time. That's arithmetic. And the reality of God. And so you got all these details of your life that you begin to worry about. What about this? And when you start parsing your life up into all these factions of fractions with the problems you have, and you don't realize that God shows you the details so that you can give the details to Him. Amen? Because His math is different than ours. See, without Him we can do nothing.
Yeah.
We're always short. With Him, you're already there. It's already complete. So brother, that has to do with infinity and eternity. Simple arithmetic tells you there's an eternity. And every day of your life is infinite in what God is trying to teach you in the details of what you're experiencing, whatever they might be. Simple faith will show you what they are. The next thing has to do with the Trinity and the Godhead. And the Bible says that in our text, he says that he talked about how did he word the Godhead. The word Godhead is only found in the Bible 3 times. It's the Bible word for Godhead. It says the invisible things of Him are seen by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. The simple truths of arithmetic and a relationship with God. Symmetry in the Trinity. Now you could do a study on numerology in the Bible, and it's clearly of some importance and significance because God... And brother, if we didn't have numbers and chapters and book order, we'd all be confused as you read through the Bible. You wouldn't know where to turn or how to get there or what order they're in. There's no explanation of how it all was put together apart from divine intervention. Why are there 66 books in the Bible? Why 39 in the Old, 27 in the New? And you begin to read Isaiah and you discover it. You begin to read about the temple and the loaves of 6 and 6 inside the temple. You begin to realize God's putting this thing all in order together. He didn't need the Jews to do that because the Jews don't have 66 books. They have 6 six loaves, but they don't have six books. God used the Jews, and when they were in rebellion, he used the Gentiles. And when they're in rebellion, he'll use an ox. He'll use whatever he has to.
Amen.
Amen. To teach people the simplicity of plus, minus, division, and multiplication. Numbers are clearly important in the Bible. We don't want to forget that, and we don't want to mix it up. If I were to ask you what is, let me see if I can get this equation, if I can remember it. Was 6 divided by 2, 2 plus 1 equals? Now don't say the answer. Let's see how smart you are. How many people would say 9? Did you pass it? That's what I was saying. What's the answer? It's not 0. It's what?
6.
It's not 6. We'll just jump to the answer. What's the answer? Okay, here's the answer, Keith. It's 1. Because normally you would say 6 divided by 2 is 3. Times 2 plus 1 is 3, which would be 9. No, you're supposed... Because, you see, you have the basics understood, but you have the order mixed up.
Right.
And faith has to learn the order of how God does things in your life, because there's an order.
That's good.
And it's the parentheses first. I think the acronym or the... It's please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. That's what it is. That's the word. Amen?
Yeah.
So you do 2 plus 1 first, which is 3. See? Right? That's in the parentheses. And then you've got... Then 2 times 3 is what? 6. And then 6 divided by 6 is what?
1.
We want to get to 1 before we get to 9. Everybody wants to get to 9 first, brother. It's a simple order, but we jump past that. Everybody wants the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't understand. They're the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. It begins with God and gives birth by the fruits of God in our life. We get that all screwed up because we don't understand. Now, you look at a study of numerology in the Bible, and I'll just give you verses and move on. But you've got 1 is the absolute, has to do with unity. Deuteronomy 6:4, God is 1. 2 has to do with witness. How many people did Christ send out? The apostles. And in mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Deuteronomy 17:6, 2 has to do with witness. How many witnesses are there in the tribulation that he causes olive branch? 2. 3 has to do with Trinity. The Godhead and the resurrection. He talks about himself. Now, we'll make man in our image. After our, you know, all the time you find Christ saying, baptize people in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and of course, 1 John 5:7. There's 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy. So Trinity has to do with the number of 3. So does resurrection. He purposely rose again 3 days later. But it was the Trinity involved in that. God is never separate from himself. Amen? Distinct persons, inseparable. That's the Trinity. And so the resurrection shows that, and you need to understand that in your own relationship. 4 has to do with the number of earth, the 4 winds of heaven, the 4 seasons, the 4 directions, the 4 soils that the seeds are planted in. How many horsemen are there judging the earth in the book of Revelation? 4. How many accounts to the world of the first advent of Christ? How many accounts to the world of the second advent of Christ? It's 4. 4 has to do with earth. 5 has to do with death and grace and Satan and the devil and wrath and the cross and Jesus. Amen. Has to do with that's what number they all have 5 letters in them. Amen. So you'll begin to find something here, a pattern. Chapter 1 of Genesis. You've got the unified creation of man. In chapter 2, you've got the witness of man. In chapter 3, you have the curse of man who needs a resurrection. In chapter 4, you have the population of the earth of man. In chapter 5, you have the death of mankind, the lineage. In chapter 6, you have the depravity of man. 6 is the number of man. And of course, man was made on which day? The 6th day. And the perfect man in the future is going to be heralded as the next world leader. His number is 6 plus 6 plus 6. Isn't it, am I correct? That's the Antichrist. And then you see the 7th, the number 7 has to do with perfection. And God made everything in 6 days, and the 7th day he rested. Amen? And so the 7th is the Sabbath. There's 7 years and 7 months and there's 7 seals and 7 stars and on. Nahum washes 7 times in a river to be clean. Solomon builds his temple, and guess how many years? How many colors you think there are in a rainbow? How many chords do you think there are on a musical instrument? It's seven. Has to do with completion and perfection. Eight is new beginnings. And so on the eighth day, that's when a child is to be circumcised. That's how many people were in the ark when God was going to start all over again. There were eight souls in that ark. Nine has to do with fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is resurrection times resurrection. That's what you're reading about in Galatians chapter number 5, and the amount of time a woman carries a baby in her womb before she gives birth to the fruit of her womb. 10 has to do with Gentile. It's in Genesis chapter 10 that you find the list of the Gentile nations. First time you find Gentile, it's all in Genesis chapter 10. Amen. Where God deals with the Gentiles through the conscience. The law given to the Ten Commandments, given to the Gentiles. John 3 plus 1 plus 6 shouts to the world like no other verse. Amen? It all has to do with number 10. 11 is disorder and confusion, just like Genesis chapter number 11. What takes place in Genesis 11? Babel. Amen? Confusion takes place in Genesis chapter 11. What takes place in Genesis 12? What is 12 significant? Why, my oh my, it's the birth of Abraham in the year 1948. Amen? Since Adam, just like Abraham the father of Jews, 1948 since Christ. Amen? What do you have? You have the rebirth of the nation of Israel. What is it? This is significant of number. Don't take it lightly, brethren. Amen? And you go through this and you see 1, 2, 3, all the way through, but there's something more important we're looking at, not just the Trinity. We want to see the symmetry in this Trinity, because there's a man. You got 1, 2, 3, you go on and on and on, and then you go, you got your -1, and your -2, and your -3. There's a man called... Oh boy, how are you going to... Fibonacci. Anybody ever hear of him? Mm-hmm. It's called the golden rule. The golden ratio. Not having to do with money. The golden mean. And he came up with something, just playing with... No, he's a famous mathematician. And he discovered something that was already known years ago, but he popularized it, just like evolution was a heresy that was way before Charles Darwin, but he popularized it when the time was right. And he came up with a mathematical construct with a value that was called phi, not pi, which has the circumference of a circle. It's phi. It's a never-ending number. But this never-ending number is usually attributed with four numbers. 1.618. Well, maybe Charlie Sell knew something, didn't it? That has to do with the proportion that exists in all of creation. Pretty wonderful, pretty incredible, pretty beautiful. Because they measure beauty based on this proportion. It's called the golden ratio. Now this fellow Fibonacci, he began to learn if you add the numbers, starting with zero, the two numbers together and keep going, you begin to get a sequence of numbers. You get 0 plus 1 is 1, then 1 plus 1 is 2, then 2 plus 1 is 3, then 3 plus 2 is 5. And at the number 3, something strange happens. It gets off the standard number line. And that has to do with the Trinity. And you begin to see that this is God's fingerprint in everything He's ever created. It's called the Fibonacci sequence. Artists know about it. Builders of architects know about it. They say a beautiful face has to do with the proportion of a mouth to the nose. It needs to be proportioned to this. And the closer you are to that, the more perfect you are, the more beautiful you are, approaching perfection when it comes to facial beauty. They say that the front of your tooth, compared to the next tooth over, is when it's proportioned 1.618 distance, size, that is the most beautiful smile. And then that tooth to that tooth. And then this segment of your finger, proportioned to this segment of your finger, proportioned to this segment of your finger. And when you measure from the ground to your navel, and your navel to the top of your head, if the proportion as close it is to that has to do with how well proportioned you are. We're not going to get into the details of how well proportioned any of us are. But I want you to look at this in Colossians chapter 2. Further, it goes further. It goes to heart muscles and bronchial tube branches and electrical neurons and brain movements. Amen? You've got the petals on flowers, the lilies and the buttercups and the daisies. They're all based on a certain amount of numbers that are on Fibonacci's, or however you pronounce his name, Fibonacci's sequence. This golden ratio. You've got the spiral in shells. You've got the cochlea in your ear. See, it's a perfect spiral, and it's based on this proportion in its curves. You've got seed pods and hurricane movements and hundreds of thousands of light years spanning in the Milky Way like this, demonstrating as you look in our outer space an incredible sequence that jumps off of the number three and goes into a world of its symmetry. In symmetry in the Trinity, God uses the number three, and He spreads out. And He says, "This is My handprint on everything I make, and everything that this is what God is doing in your and my life, brother. We've got to realize we're His handiwork. The fingerprint of God is in your life. You get stuck. Oh, I'm not advancing. What, you don't understand what God's doing, brother. Amen. You think you're on pause. You're not on pause. He's fine tuning certain things in your life as He conforms you to the image of Christ. He's showing you the details that aren't allowing Him to manifest that life through your life. He's showing you that. And so that's what, because He's an artist. He's a wonderful architect. Look at it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Earlier in the year 2000. It's the Godhead. It's the Trinity in symmetry. Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 9, or 8 rather. No, it's 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? But you say, what's that? It's the golden ratio. It's the golden mean. It's arithmetic in a relationship with God. It's a mathematical formulation that exists in everything God creates, and you're a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's bringing you to an understanding of perfection in a relationship with Him. They just recently found this golden ratio was discovered in the quantum world. The quantum world. You get the quarks and electrons and a world that's invisible that is the basic level of energy for all of nature. And they begin to study this, and unbelievers write and pen down in big time magazines on the nanoscale of symmetry and matter. They say there's chains of atoms that they've discovered that resonate with a pitch like a guitar string. And they say it resonates to the pitch of 1.618 with each other. When it gets to quantum physics, it's like, how do you explain that? You're without excuse. You can't explain it. This is the handiwork of God. You know, God uses this stuff to condemn, to show people. There's no excuse not to believe. You get into the flight of the hawk. You get into the what's considered the dimensions of a healthy uterus. They measure dolphins from their eyes to their nose to their midsection to their starfish and sand dollars, and they all show up with this fabulous, incredible. Brother, you got credit cards in your pocket. You've got light switches you turn on and off. They're all based on this dimension. Because man knows, would it look right if you're carrying a credit card like this around? I'm not talking about the statement at the end. I'm talking about the credit card. You're not going to carry this around in your pocket. Amen? It's all proportion. Wouldn't that look weird if this was a light switch this big? It doesn't fit. You need a ratio, a proportion of 1 to 1.618. We've just found that's the most pleasant. Amen? That's the most desirable, what we consider naturally beautiful, subconsciously. It's the creative handiwork of God. That's the symmetry, brother, in the Trinity. And there's the last one I want to look at. It's accountability. You're without excuse. But accountability, when we look at, we always look at the negative. Oh, boy. Everybody, you're taught the judgment seat of Christ is nothing but negative. Yeah. Brother, it's not. It's positive. In Him, everything is yea. Yeah. And brother, if you don't know it now, you're going to know it then. You're there only because you're in Him.
Amen.
Anything outside of Him is the nay, but you're not outside of Him.
Amen.
If you're saved.
Amen.
And you know that because you'll be there.
Yeah.
You won't be there if you're not saved. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Amen? So you get, what I want you to see is not the accountability, not the negative. It's the opportunity. Amen? Arithmetic. Galileo said, mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe. I'm going to show you a verse. I'll give you a couple of statements and we'll close up. Look in Joshua chapter 3. You know what God does, this incredible thing? No matter, if you take a perpendicular line, say, I always, anybody ever feel like a negative number? Like a negative 3? Well, brother, this is in the world of mathematics. When you take a perpendicular line, any negative becomes a positive.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? Two negatives make any negative a positive.
Right.
That's why Christ took our sins.
Amen.
He was made sin for us who knew. We're saying, two negatives make a positive, amen? It always works, brother. It's simple arithmetic. And he took this, and when you take the cross, a perpendicular line, and you go through any negative number, any positive number right here, put it on this side of the thing, that's called absolutes.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you something that's absolute.
Hey.
Absolutely true. Your value doesn't change
right.
based on how you feel. Your faithfulness has nothing to do with God's acceptance of you.
Amen.
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 Your value is the same whether you're true or not true, because He's true and true.
Amen.
It has no bearing on whether how weak or how strong you are, because He's supposed to be your strength. This is why, ever notice it? God brings you to the brink to teach you this.
Amen.
What the world of absolutes. What do you learn? Arithmetic. In the reality of God. And you begin to discover that every day is an opportunity. I know there's accountability, but that's not what God wants us to focus on. It's an opportunity by faith to have a relationship with Him in such a way that your knowledge and walk with Him is affecting others around you. Yes, it is. Amen. I said turn somewhere, didn't I? Joshua chapter 3. Look at this. Joshua chapter 3. Well, you can count your lucky stars, even though you can't count the stars. And I'll tell you right now, it's zero, because there's no luck in getting saved. If Jesus Christ is your bright morning star, you found the one and the only one you need, brother. Amen? Let me tell you something, brother. We get this idea that the more we do for God, the more He's doing something, He's using us. And you got it wrong, brother. Amen? Because the common denominator of everybody here is their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger that number is, the smaller your value.
Yeah.
Amen,
yeah.
Brother John. Say, what's that? Simple arithmetic.
Yeah.
God has to bring you to one in that denominator.
Amen.
And one in that numerator. So you discover that they twain shall be one.
Amen.
He takes two and He makes it one. This is what we're one in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful God this God is. The simplicity of arithmetic. Now I know I said terms Joshua 3. Look at this, it amazes me, because this is what God will do in your life with arithmetic. Don't panic. He'll make the numbers so high and so mind-boggling. How am I going to pay this debt? Amen? Joshua chapter number, he brings you on the brink of the Jordan. You never notice it? You never been brought to the Red Sea? Amen? With Pharaoh and his armies looking at you? I'm talking about marble-headed, big, giant, you know, guys over there. You know, muscles bulging out of their head on testosterone and steroids. And they're coming after you with those chariots. And they're with whips and spears. And they're ready to beat the dickens out of you. And you're looking and saying, now what? And God just takes that rod that He gave to Moses and He parts that Red Sea. He brings you on the brink. This is where your weakness can demonstrate His strength.
Yeah.
This is the world of absolutes in the simple relationship with God based on arithmetic. I love them, man. In Joshua chapter number 3, he says in verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand in Jordan." Verse number 15. "And as they bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the feet of the priest that bear the ark, they were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his what?" You see, what you think is the brink of catastrophe, how am I going to do it? God says, these are my banks. the brink of I can't go any further, I can't do it. God said, these are my banks. This is where you learn and discover the simplicity of faith. You say, when's that? When you have no other options. Then I can teach you arithmetic in a relationship with God. That it's an opportunity to be available to be used by me in any way I choose. Your weakness is empowered by my power. Your unfaithfulness is faithfulness by my faith. Your hypocrisy is made true by my truth. Amen? God shows us this over and over and over again. We've got to get a hold of this, brother, in our relationship with God. I'm going to show you one more verse, and then I'm going to close it up. I remember seeing a show with Aretha Franklin. Anybody got pop? So what a wonderful heart soul. And she's singing a song, and she's with all these other famous singers. And she starts singing this song, and then all of a sudden, they all taking tongs singing. You can tell they're all tooting their own horn. And I'm trying to, she's the bar, and trying to out-sing her, and then all of a sudden she picks up the mic and she starts singing about Jesus.
And one at a time, you did this wonderful graphic illustration. They all start stepping back. Jesus dresses down everybody. You need to be clothed in his righteousness because you have none of your own. I don't care what your gift is. Oh, you should, their eyes are just, oh, step back, brother. And she starts, do you know Jesus? She starts singing, amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll be closing up here. It's not by strength, or it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Kepler said, when we do math right, we share one voice. We share God's thoughts. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 4. There was a little boy, I think it was Gracie who was telling my sisters, my daughters, in Ephesians chapter, also my sisters, by the way. Amen? But she was telling them about a little boy that was a piano, wanted to learn the piano. We played only one song. What was the name of that song? Chopsticks. He played chopsticks, and that's all he played, and never took lessons, so on and so forth. But that's all he played, and kind of get people upset after a while, chopsticks would be like, start bothering you, amen? Ephesians chapter 4. And then all of a sudden, he goes to this concert. Am I right, Gracie? He goes to this concert, and he gets out there in front of the stage, and he starts playing chopsticks, and everybody's all, the ghosts come out. Boo! Boo! And everybody, all these, get away, we don't want to see you, so on and so. And then there comes this man that is the star of the show, the real master of the piano. And he said, don't boo him. And the little boy's just playing, and he starts playing in the background. And he starts making all kinds of music. And what happened? Everybody stands up and gives him a standing ovation. Oh, that's what God does in our lives.
We're playing chopsticks.
We're playing chopsticks with toothpicks. That's okay. That's okay. As long as you're letting me be the star. Amen? I'll let you partake in my glory. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible says, in verse number Ephesians 4, the end of the chapter, or chapter 3 rather, that verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner. This is arithmetic in a relationship with brother. Don't be afraid to fail for God. You can't.
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all faith. Here's arithmetic. What is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 21. Unto Him be glory. Where?
Forever in the church.
In the church. He'll let us partake of His glory. Praise the Lord. But we have to. Simple rules, fundamental principles and rules of mathematics in arithmetic. Peter talked about adding to your faith. And then he talks about multiplying to your faith. How do you multiply and add and always remain the value of one? Exponents, brother. You can exponents, you can have the exponent of 1 plus 2 plus 3, but doesn't matter where you go. If 1 is the first number, it always remains 1. This is the world of arithmetic in a relationship with God. He's always 1, and you're on the ride just discovering and learning all the greatness and wonders of who He is in your personal relationship. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, for this lesson. I pray God, somehow, please, take some of the things said, something, at least something that was said, and drive home to everyone here, Lord, the opportunity, the privileged opportunity we have. Not just our accountability, we are accountable, Lord. We need to recognize that, understand that. Help us recognize the opportunity, Lord. We're always a brand new sheet of paper. Every day is the new day. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. Help us to live one day at a time in eternity and recognize this wonderful privilege of faith, Lord, will someday be over, infinity and beyond. And I just pray this because I know it would glorify Your Son if we could grasp this. And I ask in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
I want you to do a technical analysis for stocks. One of the things that you